My name is Steve Crawford, and I have the privilege of being the new Crossroads pastor. I recognize some of you from Crossroads. If you are in Crossroads, I definitely want to get to know you. If you are interested in serving in Crossroads, I want to get to know you. The title of this session is When Two Become Three, Biblical Advice for Brand New First-Time Parents. By way of personal background, I have five kids, four boys and one daughter. My oldest is turning 12 next month, and my fifth and final kiddo just turned three. When they asked me to speak at this parenting conference, I considered just how little I know of parenting, even having been a dad almost 12 years. I'm always learning new things, and I felt that the only area of parenting I really felt qualified to talk about, maybe, was this area of bringing home a little one fresh from the hospital. Maybe years later from now, when I'm mature like Matt Paladian and these other guys, I'll have enough experience to speak on other areas of parenting. But to be honest, I am learning just like all of you. A few caveats before we begin this short talk. This is not a sermon, which is not my comfort zone. My comfort zone is preaching a 45 to 50 minute sermon. When Matt told me he wanted 20 minutes, I thought, I'm not sure I know how to do that. So I might wind up speaking faster as things go on. This is designed to be a application heavy, encouraging talk to fellow believers from somebody who's learning as well, specifically addressing a very pivotal stage in your marriage. When you, both husband and wife, bring a little one home from the hospital, there is opportunity for great joy, just a lot of happiness, but also temptation for frustration, for exhaustion, fatigue, irritability, opportunities for sin as well. And I hope we can look at God's word, I know we can look at God's word and derive principles to help us navigate that season of life in a way that honors the Lord. Also, throughout this talk, I'm going to include some advice from my better half, my wife, Anna. I asked her for some input and some tips that she would share, particularly for the ladies. Obviously, I am not a lady. And this is a very, this is a unique time for both the dad and the mom. But there are some things that a woman goes through that really is best to hear from another woman. So I'll let you know when I'm sharing her thoughts. I do hope it is a blessing to you. The Lord's blessed us with five children, so she knows this area of life very well. Finally, due to the subject material, we're going to refer to some of the nitty-gritty elements of life shortly after childbirth. I will try to be as sensitive as I can be, but just be forewarned, we are going to be very practical in our description of certain aspects of life after bringing home a newborn. So before we begin, just by show of hands, are any of you here who are not parents yet? Or you've not yet. All right, sweet. Who has just recently in the last, few months brought home a little one? Okay. How recently? You said 4 months. 4 months? 4 months? 2 months. Okay. Well, thank you all for coming. I'd love to get to know each one of you, but since they only gave me like 20 minutes, let's get into our outline. We're going to cover six steps for survival in the days, weeks, and months after you bring your new little one home from the hospital. And I don't have one major text. Honestly, this is practical advice from years lived and based upon the Word of God. Here are the six steps. I'll give them to you right now. I'll also repeat them if you are a legalistic note taker. It's okay. I'll send you my notes. You can email me. It's scrawford@gracechurch.org. First one, realize that you must die to self. Realize that you must die to self. Second, recognize the physical factor. Recognize the physical factor. Third, remain in communication. Remain in communication. Fourth, receive help from the local body. Receive help from the local body. Fifth is rest in Christ. Rest in Christ. And sixth, remember that this stage is fleeting. Remember that this stage is fleeting. Realize that you must die to self. Recognize the physical factor. remain in communication, receive help from the local body, rest in Christ, and remember that this stage is fleeting. 6 steps for survival when you bring your new little one home from the hospital. First, realize you must die to self. The essence of the Christian life is that you die. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him take up his cross, die to himself daily, and follow me. Luke 9:23, also Luke 14, Mark 8:34. That's the call of the gospel. When we follow Jesus, we die to ourselves. And we think, well, yeah, that happened at conversion. True. But do you remember what Jesus said? He said this is something to be done daily. And there are no seasons of life where we get a break from that. There are no seasons of life where you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, are allowed to be selfish. There's no seasons of life where you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, get a pass on demonstrating Christ-likeness. Jesus said in John 12:24, he was describing himself and the pattern he set for us, but we're called to follow in his steps. John 12:24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The beauty of the Christian life is that we die to our preferences. We die to our autonomy. We die to being lord of our own lives. We die to selfishness. We die to the old man. And we live in the footsteps and following of Jesus Christ. I'm sensitive to time here. John 13:1-5 and 12-17, I'll just sum it up for you. This is the upper room. The disciples are bickering. Who's the greatest? They've been squabbling. They get to the upper room. Nobody is willing to do the menial task of a slave. So Jesus himself, and by the way, what's on his mind is he's about to be crucified. He's about to undergo separation from the Father. And in light of all of that, he would, if anybody could ever have a pass of thinking about himself in that moment, it would be the Lord. He's about to go through the full impact of hell, hanging on the cross on behalf of all who would repent and believe. And yet, he is the one. Verse 4, he rose from supper, he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, that's a slave towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jump ahead, verse 12, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I, then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. That is the beauty of the Christian life, that we get to die so that others may thrive. Jesus modeled this for us. What does this look like for you, the new parents? Well, moms, you bear the brunt of this. Not only have you carried this little one inside of you for 9 months, you've given of yourself that way through things like morning sickness, exhaustion, fatigue, swollen ankles, varicose veins, the whole bit. Now you've gone through the trauma of childbirth, and it is physically traumatic, but now while you're recovering, you still have a little human that needs you for everything. Everything. That little one, you know, the animal kingdom, the giraffe is born, giraffe can walk in like 10 minutes. That does not happen with a baby. The baby needs you for everything. To keep it fed, to keep it warm, to keep it clean, to keep it changed. You're always on call. You don't get a break. You have two ways of viewing this. Frustration, bitterness, resentment. I don't know if you're aware of this. Maybe you are. There's this growing amount of people on Reddit and other places where they post on the internet, just worldly mindsets where moms say, I regret having kids. If I could go back, I wouldn't do it again. I had to give up so much. I honestly think that's the impact of the evil one on a lost and dark world where people resent the idea of giving of themselves. Moms, it is hard. Everything in your life has just changed drastically. Dads, your life has changed too. You no longer have the freedom you once had. Both of you don't. I remember when we brought our little one home, our first one, Elijah, brought him home from the hospital. We realized we couldn't just up and go on a date if we wanted to. We had to think through what time are we going to be out? Will there be traffic? Do we have enough changes of clothes, diapers, stroller, diaper bag, the whole thing. We used to go and watch movies. Now, like going to see a movie seemed like a remote impossibility. It would never happen. It was difficult. Dads, your life has changed, but you need to be sensitive to just how much your wife's life has changed as well. We do it ourselves because we are not the one who should be on the throne. This is an opportunity for all of us to follow in the Lord's footsteps. Anna shared this. I'm going to read this. She said this is advice to both, but particularly to moms. She said, be committed to the King's kingdom. It's amazing how quickly we can shift from living for the Lord and his ways to living for the establishment of our own kingdoms and demanding that everyone around us obey our laws. Our desires and expectations can quickly turn into demands, and our responses to our husbands, this is my wife speaking, are contingent on his ability to adhere to those desires and expectations. This can be particularly strong temptation when the baby first comes home. You may have desires and expectations of your husband, and your responses to him can be dictated by how many diapers he's changed, or how many times he's gotten up with the baby, or whether or not he offered to help with something around the house. But living for your own kingdom is exhausting, and demanding everyone adhere to your rules brings only strife. Don't forget the paradox of Christianity, that in giving up everything, you gain everything. Live for the glory of God in your marriage and in your new little family. I just say one thing too, and I know there are differences of opinions on this. You may have preferences, especially first-time parents. And believe me, we're very careful about germs. We wash the passy every time it hit the ground. If in-laws or your parents don't always adhere to your preferences, you do not need to rain down fire on them. It may not be your preference. I remember when Elijah was a little older, we didn't want him to have so much sugar. And one of the parents, I won't say who, gave him like yogurt that was basically ice cream just in yogurt form. And we're like, ugh! And our temptation was to be so frustrated and so mad. That's not what we want. We're the parents. It's not going to kill your kid. Your kid is not going to be, you know, cut out of Harvard just because he had sugar-filled yogurt, okay? The world is not going to end. It's another opportunity. I understand your preference wasn't met. It's okay. It's another opportunity to show the graciousness and patience of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he's gracious and patient with us. Okay, that's the longest one. Realize that we need to die to self. Let's go through these next ones quickly. This next one is kind of long as well, but I'll try to sum it up. Recognize the physical factor. Recognize the physical factor. Remember when I said we were going to get into the nitty-gritty of life after bringing a baby home from the hospital? Well, here it is. Maybe some of you are familiar with this area of life. I'm talking to the guys now. Maybe you're just aware. Maybe you're a pre-med major. You know all about this. That's great. I was absolutely clueless as to what my wife was going to go through, not even just during pregnancy and childbirth, but what it was like after. It's hard. Guys, you need to know this is hard on your wife. I could have been so much more a sensitive and supportive husband had I known exactly what she was going to go through. Again, not only during pregnancy and childbirth, but in the recovery afterwards. Let's say the obvious, there is so much going on in a woman's body physically after she's given birth. Whether she's given birth delivered through the normal process of childbirth or through a cesarean, it's both true that it's just hard. It's physically hard on her in different ways. It's imperative that her husband show her abundant grace and care. Remember what we as husbands are called to emulate. Ephesians 5, 25 through 29. We're told, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Husbands, you are called at all times to nourish and cherish your wife. And this is especially important right after she's gone through one of the most physically difficult experiences she will ever undergo. In many ways, her whole world has been turned upside down. She might feel at times exhausted, fatigued, weak, fearful. Sometimes it might even appear to you as irrationally fearful. She will even be, maybe some of you, I don't know, irritable at times. That's a joke. You can laugh. A lot of grace is needed during this time. Men, your de facto response to your wife should be grace, 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 grace. The Lord is so gracious to us. Psalm 103, he considers our frame and he remembers that we're dust. He is compassionate to us. That should be your de facto position to your wife, no matter what. Anna writes this to the women. She says, for the ladies, a little side note starting off. She says, it's just good to know ahead of time that between fluctuating hormones and lack of sleep, you may not feel like yourself for a while. But take heart, because God's grace is bigger than hormones and lack of sleep. And take comfort in his word, which is always true, regardless of what your emotions may say. Give yourself some grace, not to sin, but not to take yourself too seriously. Just understand that you may feel like a mess, and that may make the fight against sin harder, but God has promised sufficient grace, and sometimes taking a nap instead of doing the dishes is completely okay. The wife will go through things like the after effects of the epidural, postpartum depression. That is a real thing. That is a real physical reality that many, many women deal with, some to varying degrees more than others. You need to be sensitive to that, guys. Postpartum depression is not sin. It can tempt a woman to sin, but itself is not sin. It's like fatigue, exhaustion. It's a medical reality that needs to be met with by grace. Hormones are going crazy through the body. You just had a little person inside of you drawing on you that's now not inside of you. Hormones are all over the place. Be sensitive, be gracious, be patient. There's healing from the impact, whether it was through regular childbirth, natural, or through cesarean. There could be issues with lactation, just with breastfeeding. It's hard. It doesn't always work right away. When it doesn't work, some women feel like they've failed. Combined with sleep deprivation, not getting a full night's sleep for weeks and weeks, that can do crazy things on your thinking. Just rest in God's grace, and men, be overly patient. God was that way with Elijah. Elijah just won a great victory at Mount Carmel. He was exhausted. God said, you need to eat, sleep. And then they talked about spiritual realities. Patience, patience, patience. Practical tip, this probably shouldn't need to be said, but maybe some here are as clueless as I was. For at least 6 weeks, intimacy is just not going to be on the agenda. Guys, just know she needs to heal. She needs to recover. Be patient. Be patient. Physical intimacy is something that needs to be tabled for a while. You need to be okay with this. Men, this is an opportunity to serve your wife and put her best interests ahead of your own. Well, we're running out of time. One thing I want to say before we move on. For the believer, there is always, always, always an opportunity to not sin. There's never an excuse for sinning, even when you're exhausted, even when you're spent, even when you're at the end of yourself. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that's not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. How do we fight against the temptation to sin against our best friend? Because you're going through this process with your spouse. Men, you're tired. The baby's keeping you up, but it's definitely keeping your wife up. Whether you're doing breastfeeding or bottle feeding, you're both tired. What do you do? Well, one, you need to be in the Word. That should be a given. But also, third point, you need to remain in communication. This is when you can be tempted to diverge. Guys, eventually when paternity leave is over, you'll go back to work and you'll have your regular schedule, 9 to 5, and your routine and friends at work. She has a whole new world in reality. She's taking care of the baby at home. She's very sensitive to the baby's schedule and the baby's needs. And if you do not fight for unity, you will be tempted to start living parallel lives. You will fall out of communication with one another. That leads towards bitterness and resentment, frustration, and it can really drive a wedge in a marriage. You need to fight for communication. Proverbs 18:1 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desires. He breaks out against all sound judgment. The NIV says, whoever isolates himself is a fool. Proverbs 18:1. Don't isolate yourself. So what do you do? Men, fight to set the tone, to carve out time every day where you are in communication with your wife. Guys, this is how you can serve by leading and lead by serving. Fight to set aside that time where you're just asking her, how are you doing? How are you feeling? How can I serve you? Be biblically sympathetic. Don't try to fix everything. Just listen. if she's having trouble with the baby in some way or another, she's having trouble with the baby's schedule or with the baby's feeding or whatever, don't automatically say, well, let's read a book or go to a class or whatever. Just listen. These things, not always. I'm not a doctor. A lot of these things tend to resolve themselves over time. What she needs from you is to be patient and to listen and to encourage her. Fourth, receive help from the local body. We're going quickly now. Romans 12:5, we, though many, are one body in Christ, individual members of one another. You know, Anna and I, when we had Elijah and Abby, we were still here at Grace Community before we moved to Kansas. We had our first two at Henry Mayo up in New Hall, and Henry Mayo used to require, I don't know if they still do, they used to require a class where you had to go for a whole day. If you're a first-time parent, you're going to give birth at Henry Mayo. And we were at this class, and there were, I think, around 12 couples and one single gal all by herself. And the nurse was talking about how life is so hard just physically, but also logistically, with meal planning and laundry and things like that after you bring the baby home. And this one poor gal, I really felt for her. We were sitting sort of like a semicircle set up so I could see her face. As the nurse who was teaching the class was describing life after bringing baby home, she had this look of terror on her face. And she said, are there services you can call? Like, are there services you can call who can help with laundry, who can help with food? What she literally had this look of, what am I going to do? And I remember thinking, I'd grown up in the church. I just took for granted the role of the local church, how I just knew that people were going to bring us meals. They were going to be there for us. People in our Bible study, people in our fellowship group were going to be there for us. 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 21 describes how we are all different members of the body of Christ. The emphasis there is that we need one another, and you need the church. So be in communication, not just with your spouse, but with the church. Let your pastor know. Let your Bible study leader know. Let your fellowship group know. There are so many servants at this church who want to be a blessing to you. If they can set up a meal train, if they can help you with laundry, let them know and let them help. Fifth, rest in Christ. Rest in Christ. This is most important. Do not neglect your relationship with Christ at any time, but especially not now. Don't let fatigue keep you from reading your Bible. I remember when Anna had Elijah, she felt like she couldn't have a quiet time. Get the ESV app and listen to it. There's a free audio version. Get Spotify. There's like 10 different translations of the Bible on Spotify. Be in the Word, even if you're just listening to it. Download solid sermons. Listen to music that will remind you of Christ. Memorize scripture. Pray about everything. When you're up with those midnight feedings, that is a golden opportunity for prayer. Pray about how to love your spouse. Pray about how to press through the exhaustion. Men, pray about how to live with your wife in an understanding manner. Pray about your child. Pray about your child's salvation. Sixth and finally, because we're over time, remember that this season is fleeting. Remember that this season is fleeting. Life goes by fast. James 4:14 says, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. So there's two applications of that principle, that your life is a vapor. That's true of every season of our life. Don't despair when things are hard. I have lost track of the amount of times with all our kids where it's like, will this season ever end? And then a few weeks go by and you're like, wait a minute, he used to do that annoying thing and he doesn't do it anymore. And it's true of all seasons of life. They're fleeting. What feels overwhelming and it's like, it's never going to get any better. It's so hard right now. God's going to get you through it. It's going to be okay. And you're going to blink and a few weeks have gone by and you'll be like, oh yeah, that was a thing. He used to do that. He used to like pick his passy out and throw it in the middle of the night and then scream until we got up and give it back to him. Now he doesn't do it anymore. And he's 12. No, just kidding. The other application of that is enjoy every minute for what it is, not what you thought it would be. I think sometimes we're tempted to think of this, especially on the outset of the first time, it's going to be this golden scene and then all of a sudden like it's this mess and everything's a mess and you're a mess and your kid's a mess and you're like, this isn't what I thought having a baby would be. Enjoy it for what it is, not what you thought it would be. It is a gift to you from God. Don't let the Disney Hallmark unrealistic ideal make you dissatisfied with the good gift God has given you in the moment. There's more we could say. I hope this is helpful. I'll give anybody my notes if they want it. I'll email it to you. Thanks for coming. Let me close in prayer. All right. Lord, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for these new parents and parents-to-be. I pray, Lord, that you would sustain them with your grace, that they would rest in the truth that they belong to you, that you're a good God who leads and guides them. You are the good shepherd who sustains us. Thank you for the blessing of kids. I pray that they would cherish these times with their little ones because they do grow up fast. We thank you so much for your goodness to us. We pray this in your name. Amen.